is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We're back with the name game, and it's simple. If you are named one of two names, you have a shot to win a prize. And today's prize is a gift certificate to St. Bernard, a premier destination for all ski, swim, and designer apparel. With stores located in Houston, Dallas, and Austin, make St. Bernard the place you go before you go on vacation. And it just so happens, we're the show that's doing the giveaway. So if your name is Steven or Craig, be the first caller at 713-780-3776 to win a $50 gift card to St. Bernard. Steven or Craig, first caller.
How about that? Suck on that, other shows. We're the show of the name game today. Yeah, Steven or Craig. How about that? Well, did Dell give the streamers a chance to win? No. Congratulations, Dell. Congratulations. You didn't give the streamers a chance to win.
Suck on that, streamers.
Whoa. We love the streamers.
We do, but you're dropping suck on that, so I just felt like I needed
to. Well, to the other shows. Screw the other shows. We're the name game
aren't
show.
Aren't you on another show?
What other show am I on? Oh, no, it's all one continuum. It's one big happy family here.
It's not that happy.
To me, well, there's that. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. We've got Jeff is not named Steve or Craig, and he's been waiting. He wants to talk about some Rockets trade possibilities. What do you say, Jeff? How are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man.
Hey, so, you know, in San Antonio, not everything's coup d'etat. You know, if everything was coup d'etat in San Antonio, Kawhi Leonard would be there being really happy. But we talk about the Ryan Anderson contract, which also isn't coup d'etat for the Rockets.
Nope.
I was seeing your thoughts about James Harden and Ryan Anderson being shipped over to Kawhi Leonard, who's going to sign a max deal wherever he goes in a sign-and-trade so he doesn't lose out on that money. And I kind of wanted to see your thoughts if that trade happened, how happy or upset you'd be. And then, two, LeBron's got to realize if he comes to Houston, he's never going to have to buy anything ever again. I mean, Lil Bronny, he could walk into the Galleria and walk out with 10 boxes of shoes and never have to pay anything. So I really hope he thinks about that. So I just want to get your thoughts on the trade and maybe comment how LeBron would never have to buy anything again in Houston.
That's like a beautiful woman. You're saying you're never going to have to worry about getting a date again because men are going, I know. Okay. Thanks. Right. That's not really a draw to me.
Yeah. You don't have to pay for your, you're not going to have to pay for your drinks at a bar.
Yeah,
really? LeBron with his Nike contract.
I'm guessing the 10 boxes of shoes. Bronny's probably got 10,000
pretty sure
boxes of shoes that are unopened.
Bronny doesn't have to worry about shoes. Okay.
Yeah. So now, as far as the other thing, could you ever envision? I guess the Spurs and Rockets. The Spurs and Rockets didn't do that deal. It was going to be because Robert Horry was going to go to the Pistons. So it was going to be the Pistons because I'm just thinking of the Sean Elliott deal, but he wasn't with the Spurs then. So yeah, I don't see the Rockets and Spurs doing any major deals. I guess they did do the Vasily Spanoulis deal, I think, at one point, but I don't see them. I don't see them doing any major deals. Kawhi,
yeah, that
and James
changed
Harden,
the course of the NBA.
But Kawhi and James Leonard, yeah, I mean James Harden, I don't see something like that. I don't see it at all. There's been the rumor that the Suns will go after Kawhi and then they'll try to get Kawhi and LeBron.
I don't want to see Devin Booker and Kawhi together.
No, LeBron won't go to there. And then Cleveland wants to get the new thing is if you get Kawhi, you get LeBron. Which might be accurate.
No, it's probably
like
accurate.
Right now, if you're Cleveland, you're doing everything you can to get Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
But what do you have to offer for Greg Popovich? Would you like Jordan Clarkson?
No, but like I said before, I really believe that a Kuzma, Lonzo, or draft pick.
Yeah, but that's not Cleveland.
That's
I'm talking
attractive.
About Cleveland.
Yeah. No, I know. Cleveland, nothing.
That's why Cleveland sounds good in theory, but you have to get. Now, if you get a third party involved, three-team trade, that's fine.
Yeah.
Cleveland has a current top 10 pick, so that would be on the table.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Then you'd have to obviously they don't Love would be would have to go towards San Antonio as well. That's a starter. And then you'd have
Pop,
to find
Pop would probably consider Love. Mm. I think Pop would consider Love.
Yeah, but...
But who... I mean, because right now at this stage, that bench is not full of... That roster is not full of talent with San Antonio. So they are in a rebuild mode. I mean, they do need... They do need to... If I could trade for a pick inside the top five, if I'm San Antonio, I would definitely consider it. You can't just keep Kawhi Leonard there and not get anything for him. You're going to have to move him. I don't think he's going to want to move him to someplace in the Western Conference. And I definitely don't think he wants Leonard to get what he wants. And if that's a move to L.A., I don't think Greg Popovich is going to be in any hurry to say, let's make sure we get Leonard where he wants. But like you said, if it's the best move for the team, it's the best move for the team. And you just, you know, you just grin and bear it. Because it's not like you're close right now. I don't feel like.
Would you consider Booker for if you're the Suns, if you're the Spurs?
Yes.
I would consider Devin Booker for Kawhi Leonard.
I would consider any plus player. Like, I think this draft, the more I'm studying up on this NBA draft, I think you got five players. I think the top five could end up producing. I don't know, Dale, what nationally is this considered one of the deeper NBA drafts in a while? It feels like it's a pretty deep draft.
It's unique because of the level of big men involved.
Yeah.
Considering how the way the league's going, that you have Ayton and Bagley and Jaren Jackson and Mo Bamba.
Doncic.
And, well, he's not necessarily, he's a swing guy, but just the level of 7-footer or 6'10 or above guys that actually have a chance to contribute.
Let me ask
early.
You guys a question. My buddy Rodney asked me this one yesterday. He's a big proponent in not signing Clint Capella because you can find guys to catch it and dunk it and block shots and rebound around the league. Like that's not those are not unique skill sets. And that Mike D'Antoni's offense has always had guys who could do stuff like that. Okay, that's actually a fairly fair comment. I just think Clint Capella has a chance to develop into even more of a player. I think we're only seeing 75% Clint Capella. I think he's going to get even better. His whole thing is sign and trade for a pick inside the top three or four if a team. Now, I don't know that Clint Capella has that
to
value.
To get someone who can catch and dunk it?
For cheaper. Like right. Mo Bamba. What if you could get Mo Bamba?
Yeah, but don't forget the developmental part, though, too. Yeah,
I know. That's
you've already got Clint. I mean, you went through all that.
Yeah, you took him a while to develop him. But his point is a Mo Bamba can go block shots, can have maybe even a higher upside. And maybe he's not as raw. He wouldn't be as raw as Capella when Capella came in. His growth time, you would think, would be faster because he's played college ball, and he's bigger than I think he's bigger than Capella when Capella came in physically. But just the concept of signing and trading. What do y'all think of? He thinks that like his argument was you can go get Nerlens Noel,
but if you're the Suns, why do that when I can just sign him?
Well, not the Suns. Number three, because he can get max dollars.
Yeah, well, or he might just take. You might put a poison pill in a deal.
Well, I don't think you can. I mean, you have to give him however much you give him.
No, right. I mean, he might take. Well, whatever.
We always think somebody. I
would try to work it out if I'm that team, as opposed to trading away a top pick. Just sign him.
Right. That rarely works. Because players take their top dollars.
Yeah, but it works because a lot of guys will take. Restricted free agents will take a deal from another team.
Right. But what I'm saying is you can get max dollars from your team.
Yeah.
And if you can get max dollars, a lot of times the other team will say, okay, we'll trade for that. I'm with you. If I'm the Phoenix Suns, I'm trying to pull a Golden State and say, all right, we know we got something to work with here. I mean, they're in a very favorable position. I don't think I'd trade the first pick if I were them. If I were the Suns,
you better make it the right one, though. Is it Ayton? Is it Doncic? I understand,
but that's how you do it. I mean, you grow from within, and you got a chance. Joel Embiid and the Sixers have eventually grown thanks to their high draft picks.
Right. 814 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. We'll talk Astros. There's some Texans we got to talk to on the other side here as well. But first, some people.
If you didn't hear our interview with Bill O'Brien last Friday, make sure you go back to Podcast Arena and go check it out. He joined us for about 15 minutes. We had a long interview with him.
7 o'clock, 7:15. On Friday.
You don't have to find it that way. It's individually posted on the Bench podcast page.
Oh, okay.
So, I thought he's good. We had fun with him. So make sure you go check that out. I want to tell you about Bill Advisor. So one of the ways that if you're trying to afford, we're talking about these NBA owners and can they afford to pay luxury tax on this, you know, $27 million a year player. And you're like, yeah, that's great. I'm just trying to, you know, I'm just trying to get through my paycheck and have something left at the very end. And it's hard to do that. Well, a lot of times you can only make what you're going to make. And unless you switch jobs or take on another, job, you're not going to be able to get more money coming in on a monthly basis. The best way to counter that is to actually limit what your expenses are. Well, usually you have to do that by cutting expenses. But with Bill Advisor, they come in and lower your bills. And they can do it for energy, for satellite, for cable, for phone, for cell phone, home phone, internet. The internet is a huge culprit. I'll tell you what, most of the time I see these unbelievable savings. Like this week, they've got three different people who saved over $2,000 in just one single setting for Bill Advisor, where they take care of all your bills in one day. Internet is a big one. And make sure that you have the experts who can renegotiate your contract and get you the same starter deals that everyone else benefits from. You should be getting those too. You're a loyal customer. Make sure that you go to the website, billadvisor.com, or all you have to do is text GO to 232323. They'll text you back and you will get started on saving a ton of money with Bill Advisor. Almost everyone is saving and saving big money. And it costs you, are you ready for this? $12.99 a month. That's nothing for the hundreds and then sometimes thousands of dollars in savings with Bill Advisor. Text GO to 232323.
The most delicious app in the business and the easiest steak you can download. Wait, I think I messed that up. The most delicious steak in the business and the easiest sports radio app you can download.
Nice.
Yeah, right?
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. 713-780-3776. We haven't talked to Astros baseball in a couple of segments because Lance had to talk about Daryl Morey for like three segments or so.
That's not true.
Okay.
Then you guys accuse me of being anti-Morey. Pick a side, guys.
I know what side. I know. We know what side you're on. Daryl's side of the bed, apparently.
Daryl and Jeff Leno. I am with team good GMs.
No. Oh, what about Brian Gain, by the way?
I don't know him yet.
You sat next to him on a plane?
Yeah, but he hasn't GM'd one game yet.
Well,
get some W's.
How about, Brian Gain says Texans makeover, a culture change. Can the GM, you and I talked about this yesterday, right, Joe? Can a GM change the culture? Or is that a coach thing?
No, GMs can. Absolutely. I know Ballard went in immediately and started changing culture.
That's true.
I mean, it depends on who gets there first. Now, sometimes, Bill O'Brien was there before him, but it depends on the coach probably, too. I mean, Bill O'Brien was one who wanted to change culture initially. So it's interesting. Bill O'Brien's been there 4 years, and now they're still talking about changing culture.
Well, is it a culture, or is it just, let's get a bunch of better players? You know?
Well, that's part of the culture, I think, is that's code. Culture for them is code for they want it to be more football-oriented and less, it needs to be about winning football games and less about other stuff.
About other, and oh, by the way, the tension in the building.
Yeah, that's other stuff.
Yeah, stuff too.
I think it also has to do with their culture is a philosophical one about wanting to get a certain type of player in the building, the height, weight, speed, Bill Parcells model. That's another one that they weren't happy with how the roster was necessarily constructed last time. And Bill O'Brien was right there in those war rooms too. So he's got to take some ownership of that stuff as well. But they do some of that culture stuff is just about changing the philosophy of what kind of players they look for. So it's not some of that's not salacious. It's just an approach. But then some of it, I think, is about, you know, sometimes it's too much about football time and we're going to have this and this day and that day and we're going to do this and we're going to salute everybody and we're going to do this and we're going to have
Toro's going to propel in.
And it's like, yeah, guys, can we get some, but what about can we just focus on watching tape and getting some football players? I mean, can we be a football organization first or a PR organization? PR is not really the right word, but. Yeah, it kind of is. Because frankly,
entertainment or football?
With the way Bob McNair's, the offseason he's had, I don't think this is going to be a PR organization necessarily.
Mm-hmm. No. What the bleep with this picture? Did you see the picture of me with the Astros hat on?
I saw that. Who took that?
Dell. Just to trying to ruin it.
Was that
by the way,
photoshopped or was he really?
That's real.
That's real.
The hat's right in front of you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
it was kind of big on me, and it kind of I guess
it's
was a little bit to the side. What would Pete and Caviglia think about this hat? I'm going to retweet it, and you tell me what Pete and Caviglia. And stop already with the brief. It's a briefcase, everybody. It's not a Merce. So let's talk with Kevin. He wants to talk about Bregman. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
What do you say?
I wanted to see what was you guys' opinion back. When the Astros, they were going to make a trade for a pitcher before Verlander. I cannot remember his name.
They were trading for Zach Britton.
Right, and they wanted Bregman in the deal, but Luno didn't want to give him up.
Yeah. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that is true. And you remember when people I wish we had Chris Sale.
Oh, Chris Bregman, Sale. You're talking about Chris Sale.
Yeah, Chris Sale. And Bregman would look those people up on Twitter is that right, bro?
Yeah.
And get all upset at them. I remember the
evening show, man, they just kind of wailed on Bregman and that for month after that. And I wanted to see, what were you guys' opinion back then? And by the way, I'm glad Bregman shut those guys up. But what were you guys' opinion back then when they didn't make that trade? And looking forward now that he's become, you know, such a key piece to the puzzle of the Astros' success right now. And we still have the pitching staff that's pretty dominant now. And what was you guys' opinion back then when they did make the trade and just going forward to now?
Either do it or didn't do it. What I never understood was Bregman being so offended by that he would have been traded for the best pitcher in baseball. I mean, listen, it was Chris Sale. Now, he's got a really high opinion of himself. I get that. But that anyone who did say, should have done that deal for Chris Sale, he was the best pitcher or one of, he and Kershaw, and I mean, it's a short list. So to think that you would be the main piece in a trade for him, I think is rather flattering, but not to Bregman. Oh no, boy, oh boy. They didn't make the trade? Oh well, that was fine. You certainly could have used, Chris Sale. You'd have Chris Sale now instead of Justin Verlander, which, you know, I'm not sure how, I don't know, we can't rewrite history, but I think Chris Sale would have been pretty damn good as well.
I wanted Chris Sale.
Yeah.
Over Bregman, because Bregman was an unknown quantity. The Astros needed pitching badly at the time to go, because you weren't sure. McCullers was always getting hurt. You had Dallas was fantastic, or you thought he came off a bad 2016.
He was coming off a bad year.
And then you didn't have anything else. To me, it was almost a no-brainer. But this just goes to show you why on the dollar bill it needs to say, in Luno we trust. Because he's been able to say, how about we just do everything? How about we get Justin Verlander and we get Garrett Cole? So he's had a plan.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why he doesn't host a sports talk show. He hosts a Major League Baseball team that has a World Series.
Well, he's president.
Because he's the president now. Well, before, he did almost nothing as a general manager.
Right.
But now that he's president of baseball operations, he can finally have an impact and put a stamp on this team.
Do you think at some point he will decide the Astros need their own Space Force?
I don't think.
Because he's president now?
I don't think he's going to be that kind of president. Maybe he'll be the Elon Musk of the Astros organization, where he will think of brand new things like little tiny trains that will come to your seat and give you beer and peanuts and whatever, and you'll have little tiny trains. They'll build little tracks right in front of your seat, and the little train.
Maybe he'll build a wall. You don't know.
Elon Musk is not going to build a wall.
Boxes already exist.
Well, that's not much of a wall, is it?
No.
Why? It's just not. It's not a lot of distance.
What we did was we got rid of the hill so people couldn't run up and climb over the wall anymore. So,
are we going to make the walls in Minute Maid Park invisible?
Clear, not invisible. They're going to be clear so you can see on the other side of the wall in case somebody wants to throw some drugs out onto the field.
What are we talking about here? It's gone too literal.
Our president is...
I know.
Our president is taking care of our business, okay?
Our president... Which president? Our president of baseball operations?
Yes,
are you talking about?
Yes.
Okay. I don't think he's worried about drugs getting thrown on the field.
Unless it's by Forrest Whitley.
No.
Oh.
What? Too early?
By the way, where is Forrest Whitley? 50 games is up. Where is he?
I'm sure now that he's not taking those drugs, he fell asleep.
Niall, where? Oh, no. You think now he can't keep his eyes open?
Yeah, wasn't that the reason why he was on that stuff? Whatever stuff he was supposedly on?
I'm not.
He's sleeping now during games.
Honestly, I'm not
upset. He's sleeping during games.
He never makes the ball.
I'm not upset about it. It's just a joke.
I got to look at the Astros minor league stats and see where he is.
It's just jokes. But
what?
Now that, like I said, now that Leno is the president, I'm expecting some big things. And yeah. I'm expecting some new creative. He's done enough to create. He's been creative. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. I got Justin Verlander, the best hitting lineup. Garrett Cole, done all that stuff. Yeah, that's great. What are you going to do for the in-game fans now? Oh, my God. They scored again.
Japan. Japan scores.
You already had enough of those, didn't you?
Yeah, this is too much.
You don't want to overdo it.
Way too
8:30,
much.
8:30, ESPN 97.5. We're taking David, Steven, you guys are in.
John, whoever just gave up that goal is in grave danger.
Oh, great. No.
You need to start worrying for the Colombian goalkeeper or the defenseman. I haven't seen whose fault this is yet.
No.
But trust me, right now in DVRs in Colombia, somebody's going slow motion.
Yeah. All right, time to talk about GimmeTheVin.com. That's GimmeTheVin.com. That's John Clay Wolf. He is spectacular at what he does. What John Clay Wolf does every day is he buys cars and he gives you top dollar. He's looking for really expensive cars right now. He's giving unbelievable money for top dollar cars. So apparently that's what is in vogue this week. And there are better weeks to do different things. Like right after the president came out with his steel declaration, it was a wonderful time to cash in. Now it's a wonderful time to cash in on really expensive cars. Now, if you have a piece of crap, you can cash in on that as well. He's going to still give you top dollar because if you can't beat CarMax, he's going to give you $100 absolutely free. So find out, and you can still do the deal through your dealership or whomever you're buying your car from, but you got to go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Forrest Whitley. Yeah, some pretty good numbers at Corpus. 3 starts, 12 innings, 5 hits, 3 walks, 18 strikeouts, 0 runs. 0. Yeah, that's pretty good. So Forrest Whitley already off to a good start. So apparently he needs a nap, though, after 4 innings, Del. 3 starts, 12 innings.
He's tired really quickly.
He's tiring out. That's not funny, though. Why you got to? That's our guy.
It's better that he was taking stuff to stay awake than all the other rumors.
Yeah, a lot better. He's I asked somebody in the organization, I said, so is this a steroid deal? He was like, look how skinny he is. Okay. Stop already. Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad. I hope he's a weed enthusiast. I couldn't care less. Once you get on the, did you know once you get on the 40 man, you don't get tested anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
nope. You don't get tested anymore.
At all?
At all.
Baseball Players Association again. Always caring about drugs.
Yep. David.
And how's that true when veterans have been popped, though?
Not for weed.
Oh, for weed.
Weed.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't care about weed anymore. David, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
What's going on?
Lance, I think you had several months ago the Astros, I think, at 108 wins, and that looks right on target. For those of us who had to endure, you know, the below-average GMs over the years, it is really nice to have the local team managed by top-tier talent.
Yeah, that's all I was trying to say, and then I get hated on by Dell and John because I mentioned the other guy who put together the number one team in the, you know, I guess that's not good enough. I can only talk about the new president of baseball operations, Jeff Lanois.
By the way,
Daryl Morey.
By the way, I was the one. By the way, in a pool, I have 108.
You have 118, 126.
Well, that is true.
On the air.
That is.
I probably said 108 on the high side, thinking.
No, I got 108, and we got a pool at a local establishment, and I have 108. I got to choose what I wanted.
I think it's going to I think it'll be right around 100. I think it'll be right around 100. No. I don't.
Wow.
I know it seems like they'll never lose again.
No, I'm going over.
I know it seems like they'll never lose again, but I think it's, you know, these things have a tendency to even themselves out.
Not with this staff. Go ahead, David. What do you want to talk about?
The main question I had was Morey has shown in the past that, you know, he's not willing to give like Chandler Parsons type player, you know, big money. And what y'all's feeling about Ariza? It seems to me like he's probably gone. I keep hearing rumors on ESPN that Chris Paul might be part of the three players going to the Lakers, and that obviously is very concerning. Just wanted y'all's comments on which players you think are most likely not to come back for the Rockets, and thanks so much for the time.
So Ariza is, I think, most likely gone. Based on the amount of money he makes, you could go get somebody mid-level, I would assume, who would be less expensive than Trevor Ariza was last year, who can maybe provide some of what he did defensively, but maybe be a little better taking people off the dribble, creating for himself maybe. I don't see Trevor Ariza coming back. I don't. As far as you're probably right that they'll wait and see what they can do before they re-sign Capella, but I do think they're going to re-sign Capella. If Chris Paul doesn't sign, it really could be a silver lining, because unless you're going to add Chris Paul and then add someone else that can take over for Chris Paul when Chris Paul gets hurt, which seems inevitable that he's going to miss games, then how are you any different than last year? And you were really good last year, but I don't think it makes a lot of sense to assume that Chris Paul will be the exact same player he was last year. When players get older, the decline happens fairly quickly. You just have to trust that history will probably say the same thing. And I just don't know that giving Chris Paul a super max deal for three more years makes a lot of sense in the long run. It makes me nervous. And I wish you could get a one-year deal on Chris Paul, but that just doesn't exist anymore.
No, I don't see Trevor Ariza back. I don't think Bamute is coming back. I don't believe free agent. Quite frankly, I'm not sure about Capella. If they offer some stupid money, I don't know that you match that. Like you said before, I think you can probably find a lot of what he does and other players. But Chris Paul in a trade to the Lakers, that's not happening. Chris Paul is here.
Yeah.
Daryl Morey would know that's not happening. Jonathan is here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Jonathan?
Good morning, fellas. The first time I've called back since you guys have been reunited.
Hey, welcome
Everything's
back.
Right in the universe now.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Been a long-time listener. Listen, before I get to my Astros take real quick, I saw a really good documentary on Allen Iverson on Netflix, and it went into the whole press conference about the practice and it was just real interesting. So if you guys see that on Netflix, I highly recommend it.
Is it about AI? Is it specifically an Allen Iverson?
Yeah, I mean,
is it 30 for 30 on ESPN?
It's about it and when he started and how he got into it. And make a long story short, he just didn't communicate real well as far as what he was trying to get across. But what he was trying to get across was, you know, you guys are talking about my practicing, and I'm here to talk about the game. And, you know, I've been the scoring champion, you know, so many years in a row. I didn't get this way by not practicing. And the fact that you guys keep harping on practicing and not, you know, not the game that just happened is, you know, a little frustrating. And then, you know, other things that took into effect were, you know, his buddy had just died a few days before that. So, you know, he even admitted that, you know, he wasn't in the best of moods. And, you know, it's just real interesting because the media had a way of turning that into, you know, that he never practices. And
yeah, but do you know that that's
takes a different take on it?
That's blown out of proportion, too, because that it's media this, media that. You know who brought the topic up? It was his coach, Larry Brown. Larry Brown said, yeah. I don't know, Allen Iverson was showing up late for practices on a consistent basis. Let's not, I'm going to go into this because I know it happened years and years ago, but this is a classic thing where it's going to look like media bad guys. But the reality was Larry Brown brought this up. Allen Iverson and Larry Brown had a contentious relationship at that particular time because he wasn't coming and doing the little things. And when I say little things, it's the things that
you mean showing up on time?
Yeah, that every other teammate is expected to do, which is be at practice, ready to practice on time. And he didn't do that. And Larry Brown, that was an issue that festered. And Iverson was asked about it. That's the media's job. When that's an issue that is a known issue going on between a coach and a player, you don't have to like the question. You don't even have to answer the question if you don't want to. There's nothing wrong with asking a question when the very best player and a franchise player has a bad relationship with a head coach. I don't understand why that was a bad deal that they asked him about the practice stuff when Larry Brown brought that up. Like, how is that? And yeah, I'm a coach's son, and my brother's a coach. I just think that if you get paid to do a job, you do everything that's inside that job. And one of the things as a professional athlete is you're expected to do the same thing that your other teammates have to do. And AI didn't always do that. You know, I've always worried that if that's going to be the case with Harden, is Harden going to be the star who doesn't do everything or shows up late or, you know, does his personal life get in the way of his professional duties? And hey, David Carr would rush home after practice and do exactly what he had to do and then get out of there. He didn't spend early time and late time, and the players recognized him. They're like, dude, you're the quarterback. You're expected to actually first in, first out. That's the exact opposite of what Allen Iverson was. So I don't know. For me, Jonathan, I understand the doc about that particular interview may have been blown out of proportion, and I get what Iverson was talking about. I don't think it was an unfair question at that time because I remember that topic very distinctly being about Larry Brown versus Allen Iverson. Bring him back on so he can – I just want him to be able to retort if he wants to.
Okay, real quick about the Astros. Even before this winning streak, did you guys happen to see their run differential? It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Even before this, you know, they were plus 40 ahead of the next, you know, best team in run differential. And I just see a pattern of the Astros, you know, streaking in June. And to be honest, I like it, you know. And so I never really worried or was concerned because I knew with the pitching that they had and, you know, just if you had mediocre hitting that you'd be able to stay right there. And so I'm really excited about, you know, watching the Astros and, you know, seeing them compete and, you know, as well as they're doing right now. So, you know, that was really all that I got. I was just paying attention to the run differential and the fact that they were, you know, plus 120 before this big run of wins. And, you know, the next closest team was like plus 60 or something to that matter.
Yeah. So, no, Jonathan, that is absolutely true. And we pointed that out. Well, actually, before I left, we were talking about the run differential and how they were the best. And then when they went into Kansas City, which was the worst in run differential, you know, the Astros were on top. But it was that run differential thing, it was a little misleading because the Astros were either feast or famine for a while. You'll remember when the offense was really how many games did they have where they scored one or zero runs? And it cost Verlander, Keuchel.
Not Verlander much.
Yeah, it cost Verlander a couple, three games where he would hit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's got one loss, though.
He's got two losses.
Is he at two right now?
Yeah, 9-2. And he cost them a no decision as well. But Keuchel, three of his losses were actually six of his first seven losses, they scored one run or less in his starts.
Yeah, it was, but that was a small sample size. The much bigger sample size, now the run difference, it's the same thing. Right now, they're in an explosive mode.
They're in a different world right now. Yeah. No, they're not feast or famine right now, but they had a run there where they were either scoring 10 or one. And yet, hey, I'm not taking anything. Astros Twitter, please don't get on me. I'm not taking anything
away. Too late.
So now, am I already under siege?
Let me see here. No. John Granato, total hack. Stop giving up on this team so early, John. You don't even know about the minor league system,
oh,
John.
Oh, look, new Astro fan.
New Astro fan, John Granato, running his mouth, doesn't know anything about QAZs.
You know who what he does know something about? Skeeters.
Skeeters. You know what I do know about? The Sugarland Skeeters. What do you know about the Sugarland Skeeters? I need you to get out to Constellation Field and see my boys out there. They are, now, they're gone now, okay, but they're coming back. They'll be back home. And when they get back home on June 25th, what about Margarita and Dollar Dog Monday?
Uh-oh. So a little something for the food and a little something
Wait a minute. Margarita and Dollar Dog.
Yeah.
It's wow. Both. And it's Military Monday.
It's both. It's
Dollar everything. Hot dogs and discounted margaritas.
It's everything.
And those with a military ID get in for free. That's ridiculous.
June 29th, my anniversary, the Spasmatics are playing a post-game concert, now, which is a big
fun,
deal.
That's fun, dude.
Yeah, I've heard it's a lot
the
of fun.
The Spasmatics have been out there before, and that is, they are awesome. If you haven't seen the Spasmatics, buy your tickets now for the Spasmatics June 29th.
And finally, if you want somewhere to go for 4th of July, they've got their 4th Fest going on out at Constellation Field as well. For more information, simply go to the website, sugarlandskeeters.com, and go find out how you can be part of the fun, sugarlandskeeters.com.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. We're going to do... looks like Japan is going to go on to win here. That's it. That's going to be it. That's 5 minutes of extra time, and Japan leads Colombia. It's over. 2-1. Japan wins. Should we play Japanese soccer player or Payway appetizer? Should we play that? Oh. No?
Hey, where's Lance? Oh, he's in the bathroom.
Lance. He quit the show. Where's Lance? Lance!
Oh, hey, guys. So I just got back. What were y'all talking about? Oh, look, Japan won.
Yeah. Did you hear?
That's a great win for Japan.
It is a great win.
Not as good for me, but great for Japan.
Let me ask you this question. John McClain wrote a story today, and it says, I may be wrong, but I don't think the Texans will sign Clowney to an extension. Will the Texans sign Jadeveon Clowney? They just did McKinney to a 5-year, $50 million deal. Clowney will make $12.3 this year.
Who was drafted a year after? Clowney was drafted a year before McKinney. Of course, Clowney also has the 5-year deal. So
yeah, right. So do they do now? Apparently, there have not been contract negotiations with Clowney's people, but I don't know that it'll take that long. Chris Olsen's pretty good. I don't know. I think you may have to go into this season and see once again. Do you want to have to franchise him?
This is just unusual to let.
Well, you. But here's the deal: is
a player this caliber go? But you're probably right.
You have to see this year. But here's the deal: this may be it for JJ. Okay.
Yeah.
This may be it. Yeah. I don't know how much more you can just. If he gets injured again after three games or four games, you just got to go, dude. Really? We're paying $100 million. This weight on the salary cap.
I think he'll retire if he has a major injury again. I think he retires.
Well, I mean, we say that, but he's a competitor, and you know, and his,
he also
it's his
said
career.
He thought about retiring in February. I mean, he's already brought it up himself. I didn't even bring it up. He brought it up first.
I just don't know that right now, and I don't know why. Why would you think that Clowney's not going to be really, really good for years to come?
How much are you going to give Jay? How much? Here's the problem. How much are you going to give Jadeveon Clowney?
Well, okay, so. Oh wow! Well, after 2000, okay, so you won't get a bad cap hit if you lose JJ. Your cap hit is $2 million, so that's nothing. After this year, it's $2 million.
I feel like $6 million
this year.
This is something we could discuss on the other side because we got to say goodbye to sports, Matt.
Let's do that because I want to get into what Clowney's actual worth is.
I want to get into what John Clay Wolf is doing right now. John Clay Wolf is doing unbelievable things, and if you've got a really, really expensive vehicle, now is the time to trade it in. If you're thinking about it, if you're thinking I'm going to either upgrade or I got to get out of this thing, these payments are crazy, or I just want to get out of this really, really nice car, now's a great time to go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. John Clay Wolf, right on the spot, a couple minutes later, you'll have a quote on what you can get. And then it's always negotiable because you got, you know, what, where's this scratches or has this history or some whatever else it is that there's a problem with, or it's better than I thought it was, and I'm going to give you more money. Whatever the case may be, John Clay Wolf is going to give you top dollar for your vehicle. And it's not only just about the really, really nice cars, any car. If he can't beat CarMax, he's going to give you $100. That's on any car. Any car whatsoever. So if you're looking for a great way to get out of that car and into a new car, it's GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5.